I've always believed when you read Genesis and they talk about fallen angels, that we're talking about ETs that have come down to this planet to genetically seed us and do whatever they did. We're going to talk more with Stephen Quayle and take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Steve Quayle with us, of course, and we'll get to your phone calls as well. Stephen, I wanted to ask you some things before we go to calls. The Vatican has their telescopes, and as you mentioned, the one on Mount Graham in Arizona. Is it really called the Lucifer device?
The telescope is a binocular telescope, but one of the infrared instruments is called the Lucifer device, and that's an acronym. But fascinatingly enough, when Tom Horn was there, a year ago, George, literally one of the Vatican astronomers, by the way, astronomers from all over the world come here, but one of the Jesuit astronomers made an astounding statement that's in our DVD, you know, the Unholy See, that basically said, sometimes there are so many UFOs in our field of view, we have to wait for them all to clear out. Now, look, he wasn't kidding. I want to share something. The people from all over the world are, because they can download this, you know, on Vimeo, they're saying to us, thank you for putting it all together. And interestingly enough, you know, when you're talking about the Anunnaki, I heard what you just said, you know, Zachary was the Anunnaki, the fall, that was basically the aliens, but they're always depicted with wings. The thing that I differ with Zachariah Sitchin on was the fallen angels. But again, if people want to find out, you know, what the Anunnaki, the singular, was doing at the foot of Zachariah Sitchin's bed, they can listen to his best friend on this DVD, The Unholy See. And what was most amazing is, Tim Alberino, the director, got into the Jesuit headquarters, and for the record, he also had an attempt on his life and his family, and their four kids almost all perished, okay? Jeez. A literal hit was put on him after this, but by the grace of God, he was alive, and that's a story in itself. But going on from this is that the Vatican wants to control the narrative. This is critical, and we prove that. For instance, when Anselm P. Rambla, I told you, the famous archaeologist, adventure explorer, had permission from the Catholic Church to go into the tunnels underneath what was called the Coricancha in Cusco, all of a sudden, a whole lot of people started getting nervous. And where he was once one of the most celebrated gentlemen, he took ground scanning radar and everything into another church, if you will, abbey, and found it, documented. He went back the second time, and all of a sudden, he's forbidden from going into that. Now, why is that? Every place, this is going to be interesting to our listeners, every place that was found to be an entrance into this vast giant built, and I'm talking giants that built this labyrinth, has either a church, a monastery, or some form of a religious structure over it. And the astonishing fact is that all of the natives, again, if you will, the Incans in this part of the world, knew about the giants, and it was so secret. I mean, can you imagine a tunnel system going 1,800, 1,900 miles into the desert southwest? It just boggles the mind. Well, it's the same thing in the United States. There were giants in the United States, and they built this vast underground tunnel structure, and guess what? The U.S. put military bases over the entrance to them.
That's right.
So any time any of this stuff is found, so I think that the Unholy See, our DVD, it has got to be the most mind-blowing thing we've ever done. And everybody from Hollywood, a lot of people that listen to you tonight are saying, man, we watch that. It's incredible. Well, it's not a Mickey Mouse, and I don't mean any deference to anybody else on this, but this thing is well done, and it's so fast-moving, but there's so much information in it. And I won't give the storyline, when I say the storyline, away, but we're already on episode 3 now, and episode 3, as astonishing as 2 was, episode 3 will be probably the most mind-blowing thing. And if things take place, and we've already been hassled by the powers that be, the devils that are, but we're going to probably have an announcement that will, and this is not grandstanding or, you know, bragging, it's just a statement. We're going to make some announcements and have the evidence to prove it, that it's going to shake up the world of archaeology and the standard narrative of what took place in South America, North America, and also, which leads back to Atlantis, Francis Bacon, the secret societies, and why they want to control all this information. So I'd encourage people, then go on your website, Coast to Coast, hit my link and go there and absolutely download, you know, True Legend. It's so quick. And by the way, 80 countries now have downloaded that video, and I get emails from all over
80.
The world.
That's amazing.
That's a lot.
Why are governments suppressing stories about giants?
Number one, they want the DNA, and you and I have talked about the Super Soldier program of the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA. Can you imagine? They've also identified the Hercules gene. If you remember, you and I did a story almost 15 years ago on that, and I carried that in Genetic Armageddon. And so the idea is this, that you're going to have either a race of robots, the robot apocalypse, and or you're going to have a race of, if you will, almost superheroes with unbelievable strength, unbelievable mental powers. You and I have talked about the giants that are in stasis. Stories from Russia, Dr. Moldashev, four-star generals under Dulcy, you know, the alien wars in Dulcy. Phil Schneider talked about it before he was murdered. We're getting stories from Romania, Bulgaria. We're getting stories, and I'm talking about people that are having encounters with these things now, and they're not in spirit form, they're in physical form. And even the Native Americans are talking about their different stargates throughout, you know, the desert Southwest. There's strange anomalies and phenomenon happening. Volcanoes, if you look at, for instance, Popo in Mexico City, there's, you know, there must be a dozen or two dozen videos on YouTube showing orbs, showing flying saucers coming out of them. So something's going on. And here's the thing. The whole normal paradigm, what most people have lived with, grown up with, and basically accept as you know, it's just the way it is, that's all going to be turned upside down, because there's nothing that's been hidden that isn't going to be revealed. Just look at the politicians. You know, you and I talked about Donald Trump. Look at who dislikes him, and these are the who's who of the globalists, the trilateralists, the Luciferians, and it goes on and on and on. So I think it was Roosevelt that said, a man is more known by his enemies than his friends. And I think that, you're going to see so many more revelations. I can't speak to Assange, but all I can speak to is the fact that the ancient history that has been suppressed and controlled primarily by the Vatican, and again, this is not an anti-Catholic DVD. This is showing how the statements of the current Pope are lining up with biblical prophecy. By the way, someone who is in that area at Mount Graham, and this is something people need to know, the Native Americans consider that the holiest spot, or, you know, the most sacred
Very
spot
sacred,
in
yeah.
the country. And they fought the Vatican. U.S. military stepped into it. But given the idea that the Pope actually showed up there surreptitiously, and one of the gentlemen that was there when he came, what was he there for? You follow me? Normally you have, I don't know, cardinals and all. I don't know much about all their hierarchy, but you have your underlings going there. He saw something he wanted to see, and Tom Horn was told this. Tom Horn was told this by multiple PhDs, that they said, if you understand childhood's end, okay, by Arthur C. Clarke, and you had this kind of like gargoyle-like alien. Did you happen to see that on, what was it, the Sci-Fi Channel?
No, I didn't see that one.
Well, but anyway, the thing is, you know, the aliens show up, they stay hidden, until all of a sudden something that looks like basically a gargoyle.
And out they come.
A hammerhead shark and bat leather wings, you know, something that's a classic representation of evil, come and claim they created us. Well, the answer then is, who created them? So the point is, or the question, who created them? The whole world is being prepped for this, okay? And the statement, the narrative, the dialogue now is simply that when the aliens show up, you know, can they be baptized? I mean, the Catholic Church has already taken that
That
position.
was an amazing story, Stephen. The fact that they would even bring that up.
Yeah, and see, so they're controlling the narrative. And so what are they looking for? That's the question. Where are all the... Someday, we got to do a show at your convenience on the secret space war. We don't have the Apollo and Saturn programs. We have such advanced programs that the former head of Skunk Works talked about that, you know, he got drunk at his retirement party and basically made the statement, we've been beyond the stars. So when you hear about jumping space and faster than the speed of light, the old argument used to be there's nothing faster than the speed of light. Wrong. And what's so astonishing to me is the more we dig up, pun intended, and research in antiquity, the more this was a given statement, especially pyramids acting, if you will, as star chambers, and on the top of them, basically energy sources to go from one part of the world to the other. Remember, oceans weren't always on the planet. We had the supercontinent, you know, Pangea and Gondwanaland, that's a mouthful. And when the oceans and the even the Bible, the Old Testament talks about when the land parted, you know, in the days of Peleg. Well, the Hawaiians and the South Pacific Islanders worship Pele, P-E-L-E, as opposed to P-E-L-E-G. So the astonishing thing is, even in the South Pacific, Australia, New Zealand, there is no place that the giants do not exist in their oral tradition or George, on their petroglyphs and on their rock drawings all over the world.
Let's take some calls here for you, Stephen.
Sure.
They are lining up. We go to Lori in Jackson, Michigan to get things started east of the Rockies. Hey, Lori, good morning.
Hey, hi, George. How you doing?
Okay.
Hey, Steve, I got a question that's been bugging me. I've been thinking about this. Like the fallen angels, like, at first I thought angels couldn't have sex, like they were neither male nor female. And I never hear about female giants, so I just wonder what you could tell me about that.
Well, I'd like to answer the first question. I'll take on the second one. That's a standard question because Jesus said, in heaven they are neither given or taken in marriage, but are as the angels. That's in heaven. On earth, the fallen angels, and basically, they can take on the form of, you know, masculine plumbing they need, but there were female giants, okay? And they exist. Even I quote a guy by the name of Diodorus in my book, Genesis 6 Giants, that said, now that you're going to love this, even though the giants have comely females, okay, and this is talking about the Celtic giants in the British Isles, they prefer the consort of each other. Now, if you hear what that means, it means basically that even though there were female giants, and by the way, there were not all of them went after each other and stayed within their own, if you will, sexual preference. But this was Diodorus, so this isn't contemporary stuff. And I maintain that what you're seeing in all of the strange aberrations of sexuality on the planet were actually taught by the fallen angels. When I wrote my first book, Aliens and Fallen Angels, The Sexual Corruption of the Human Race, what you're dealing with in Greek mythology and all the mythologies of the world is the gods, G-O-D-S, small, coming to earth, having sex with females. The fallen angels are different than demons. Demon is a disembodied spirit. It comes from the Greek word that means disembodied spirit, daimonizomai. So the fallen angels are a different order. The reason they fell is because they didn't stay where God put them. So fallen angels have a supernatural life form, a supernatural strength. When they mate with human women, they produce a hybrid, and that's where God literally, it's God that first defined the word bastard. I don't know if you know that.
And hence the flood of Noah, to wipe
and
them out,
the
right?
The flood of Noah. But after the flood of Noah, George, into the caller, there was a second incursion. That's what Genesis 6 means. There were giants in those days and after those days. Then the word is Nephilim, okay? And Nephilim, it's interesting, it's only used two times in the Old Testament, before the flood and after the flood. After the flood, the giants are referred to as Rephaim. And Rephaim comes from the word the dead, Rapha. And so it's, and by the way, it appears 33 times in that version, just an interesting number. And David, you know, when he fought Goliath and Goliath's brothers, and astonishingly, we were contacted by originally a man who was a curator of a museum who had talked to the person who dug up the giant seven-footers, but six fingers, six toes, and fang-like teeth in the desert southwest. I won't say where, because I don't want to, you know, get anybody in trouble, but we were going to go and film them, and guess what? Somebody tampered with them. Well, tampered with them, they said, we can no longer agree to being filmed. We encountered this all the time. So to answer the caller's question, fallen angels don't have sex in heaven. There is no sex in heaven.
They're not physical in heaven, right?
You got it. But on earth, they can take on physicality.
That's right.
That's the answer, and I hope that satisfies, because that's what every myth and legend, and again, there's a misuse of the word Nephilim. Nephilim is translated giants, but it really means, and this is the derivative, it means those who descend from the fallen ones, and then it changes to Rephaim. When a giant dies, that's the evil spirit, and it's not a normal spirit. The giants had an appetite that was, quote, out of this world for human flesh, and every single country in the world, and by the way, it was the giants that introduced cannibalism and human sacrifice to the Aztecs, Mayans, and Incans, going down from Mexico into Latin America, into Peru, Chile, etc.
Our special guest, Stephen Quayle, this hour. Let's go back to the phones. Tom in Riverside, California, west of the Rockies. Hi, Tom. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Steve. I'd like to ask you, well, first I'd like to comment. I don't think the Soviet Union, in my opinion, from what I've seen the last 10 years, I like the idea of possibly just Trump coming along. Good sign. I think we did Russia wrong when we bankrupt back in Reagan's days, and I think they're resentful, and they know Putin is smart enough to know that this is our government is basically being run by the New World Order. We are the
Absolutely.
New World Order. And so I think that's not a bad deal. And if I was dealing with North Korea, I'd drop some food over there, make some good gestures, and let the guy go. I mean, you're talking about that country against the of the United States with our nuclear arsenal, if they haven't disseminated it all yet. Obama's working hard on getting rid of all of it, along with the Clintons and all the rest of the folks, the Bushes and everybody that's treasoned this country. The biggest problem I see is we've lost control of our country. What are you going to do? I mean, even if all this happens, what are you going to do?
Well, you got to keep fighting, that's for sure. Stephen, we'll get some of your reaction when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, because we can't just let it go. We have to fight back. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. So, Stephen, as Tom from Riverside was asking, what do you do with all these calamities and these problems that are out there?
Well, number one, we absolutely have to recognize that the people that got us into this messy United States are not the ones to get us out of it. Number two, we've got to stand up, speak up, and I understand, George, what people think needs to be done, but they also need to understand that Solomon, King Solomon, was very wise when he said, if foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? When the wicked rule, the righteous mourn. And the righteous are, you know, they're people that just want to live. And look at all the money that we're in debt now. And we're bringing, seriously, hundreds of thousands of immigrants into this country, and meanwhile, the middle class is pretty much wiped out. And I believe there are no political solutions to the problems we have. Wasn't it de Tocqueville that said America's great because its people are great?
That's right.
And I don't apologize for the history of this country. What's terrifying to me is that everybody else is building up, meaning the Russians, the Chinese. Look at where we're at in the world. Look at where we were at when I said, and boy, do I make friends on this statement, I said that America under its present leadership, and I'm linking Congress and Senate too, will become a hissing in the nations around us. No one takes us seriously. All the backroom deals, all of the favors sold out. You know, and again, what I see happening here is that we're on the if you will, kind of like the old Barry Maguire, for this night, we truly are on the
eve of destruction.
Let me define that real quick. We have AWACS planes up. We have our E-4B command and control planes up to date to match Russian actions. The Russians turned on their electronic warfare weapons, and they turned them on the Israeli aircraft, and then basically they shut their jets off in midair.
Wow.
And then they turned them back on, and they did radio broadcasts telling Israelis what we can do.
It's Tesla technology, Stephen.
Yep. And they did the same thing with the Donald S. Cook. They did the same thing with the nuclear boomer. That just means, a nuclear submarine. And now, because of the situation, and you open it up, I don't think people understand or grasp. When you're getting ready for world war, the first thing that any opposing army does or military is take down the satellites. So the United States is now putting up giant balloon packages, and by the way, they're going up to 66,000 feet to be able to communicate, and they're using all of their secret communication stuff. But when I talk to people tonight, George, before we went on together, I'm telling you what, there are people who are getting ready. Listeners from Poland who basically said, we're headed to the front lines and we're being told to tell our families they may never see us again.
That's amazing.
And that's amazing. So I'm praying like mad. Here's what I pray. I pray that through disclosure and discovery of what the schemes of evil men are, that people will speak up and they'll hold these bunch of vultures, our congressmen and senators, who listen, prostitutes in any capital of the world, make these people look like the underclass. What I mean by that is they work both sides of the political arena, the Republicans and Democrats. And so when you got somebody who's a bull in a china shop, like Donald Trump, who's not a politician, telling people what's going on, I'm on record as saying this, and I stand by this. Whether you like him or hate him, if you understand who his enemies are, and the people who are his enemies basically are the ones that got this country in the mess, then you got to look at, okay, was he raised up to be the voice of, and when I say the voice of the prosecuting attorney laying out what this country is really like behind the scenes. And I think that when you deal with, there's one guy that's going to prison for taking a picture in a submarine, and when you deal with top secret, and you deal with meddling with the attorney general, as former President Bill Clinton did, and then you hear the Bushes are voting for Hillary, man, this is just one big happy family.
Strange stuff. Let's go to our first-time caller in San Clemente, California. Rabbi is with us. Rabbi, I hope you enjoyed your Rosh Hashanah, by the way.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Good.
Steve, I had a question that maybe you'd be able to shed some light on about Sir Francis Bacon.
Okay.
And I was just curious how much foundational work you know about him being the chancellor of the Court of Chancery.
And George, could you repeat that? Because I can't hear. It's kind of garbled on my end.
It was a little garbled. We're talking about Francis Bacon again. But go ahead, Rabbi, a little more on that.
Yeah. I was asking, Steve, if you know about Sir Francis' foundational position being the chancellor of the Court of Chancery, and also that he was over the creation of modern English that was used by the 70 translators that he was put under to translate the King James Bible. that we have. Oh. I was just wondering if you.
All right.
Yeah, that's a good question, and I may not have the total answer, but one of the things that Bacon did is he veered from a lot of the, if you will, the Greek schools and the Greek philosophies, and this is, I think, germane to what you're asking. His background was very much, he's considered the father of the scientific method, along with, obviously, Newton, but given his background, he was very much, when he wrote The New Atlantis, everything he did was based on, and I'm sure, have you, sir, read, The New Atlantis, at least as much as he's written, about how Ben Salem, or Ben Salem, meaning the House of Peace, came to be the Christian nation, and he talks about the Ark of the Covenant. So everything that he was talking about is basically, how should I say this, it seems like a combination of, basic Old Testament stuff, but mixed in with a lot of the mystery religions. So, if you can share any more light on it, that's what I know.
Stephen, too, just real quickly about Bacon, and we'll go back to final calls here. He was almost like a Leonardo da Vinci, wasn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, he was so bright, and like Sir Isaac Newton, that, and I am telling you, the argument right now behind the scenes is he was William Shakespeare. He's the one that was really the one responsible for Shakespeare's works.
Huh, his ghostwriter.
Yes, as the Bard of Avon was not the one responsible. So when you look at Bacon and his knowledge, and he moved from the Greek philosophers, obviously he moved from all of that which was known as wisdom. I'd say that he stands heads and tails above everything. But he, again, isn't it funny? We're talking about Francis Bacon 380 years ago, talking about the headlines of modern day scientific advancement, and there's nothing new under the sun, as King Solomon said. Why am I saying that? The more we dig into the past, and with our True Legend series, George,
mm-hmm.
the more we're turning over, pun intended, new rocks, but the rocks are leading to a history that is so remarkably illustrative of absolutely the fallen angel. And by the way, the Anunnaki, as portrayed in the Sumerian and every form of stele and rock inscriptions, etc., always have wings, okay?
They do,
and
yeah.
That's fascinating. So the narrative, and I want to share this, in True Legends, The Unholy Sea, it's 2.5 hours, and it goes really, really fast. There's so much to put into perspective that people are honestly, there are Catholic believers who are buying 100 of them, because obviously, there's a rift in the Catholic Church between traditional Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, sure.
I don't know how, and this is, again, this is talking about the history of what's gone on. So the giant bones were burned. When we got into the 1570 and 1580 original documents, I mean, this is handwritten stuff on vellum that have been stuck away for 400 and 500 years. They talk about 36-foot-tall giants. The skull was 42 inches from the eye socket to the back of the head. And the reason they were burned is because the natives that were obviously being converted to Christianity, or Catholicism more exactly, would worship these as the gods that came down from the heavens. So, the fallen angels and the myth and all of the artifacts going to that period of time are turning up now. I can't tell you how many emails I get a week. I mean, it used to be one or two a week. Now it's dozens a week of people all over the world saying, you got to come here, you got to talk to this guy, here's what's going on.
All right, back to the phones we go. Thomas in La Jolla, California. Wildcard line. Thomas, go ahead.
Good evening, George. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And Steve Quayle, your work is marvelous. I look forward to looking at your next video. My question for you, Steve, you mentioned Ben Rich, the Skunk Works, and Secret Space, but the same aerospace companies that are involved with Secret Space have to be involved with chemtrails. And my question for you is, in your opinion, What is the purpose of chemtrails? Is it weather control? Is it population reduction? Or is it something more sinister like terraforming, actually changing the ecology of the planet for something different, for something else?
That's probably one of the best questions I've ever been asked, and it's something, it's all of the above, but you picked it up in terraforming. I was told by multiple four-star generals, okay, in Black Ops, that they're literally changing the atmosphere to make it more, if you will, almost primordial for that which is coming back, meaning the giants. Now, I'll tell you something else. In my book, Xenogenesis, in chapter 13, one of the deathbed confessions of a former assistant director of the CIA talked about changing the visible light spectrum. I'll make it real simple. He said the visible light spectrum in the rainbow that God created was a barrier, an electromagnetic barrier to keep basically our realm of existence safe from the evil that was trying to penetrate it. The CIA, again, I had the gentleman, assistant director, had a deathbed conversion. He came to know Jesus. And the bottom line is the explanation of that is the most mind-boggling thing I've ever heard. So what I'll do, you know, if you can just, how do I say this? Without taking up too much time, George, the whole point in the chemtrails is, number one, what the guest, or excuse me, what the caller just said, is basically to, and I use the word terraform, okay, T-E-R-R-O-R form, mm-hmm. and also to break down the electromagnetic barriers that keep some very evil spiritual entities from coming in to our realm. And if you send me an email, sir, steve777@stevequayle.com, because you asked that question, I'll send you my book, Xenogenesis, and I think it will blow your mind. I think that's one of the best questions that's ever been asked of me any time, so I salute you.
Do you still think the giant bones are being kept hidden away at the Smithsonian?
Yeah, and I'll tell you what. One of the things that, I got to be careful, but yes, and not only at the Smithsonian, the giant that was flown out, the dead giant in our time that was flown out of Bagram Air Force Base, ended up at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Remember, he had live DNA hours before he was helicoptered out of a cave in Afghanistan, brought to Bagram. My friend, the pilot, flew him on a C-130 to another airplane, and they took him on a C-5 Galaxy, and the pilot said, we're on our way to Wright Pat, okay? A C-130 doesn't have the same distance as a Galaxy did. So Wright Pat is, interestingly enough, that's one of the alien strongholds underneath. You know, there's so many levels. I think, George, people have got to understand, during the Cold War, all military bases had vast underground shelters, and they had high-speed transportation between bases, maglev trains, everything you can imagine. And it was advanced technology. And there are people that have come on your show and talked about it.
Indeed.
And the point is that exists. So the bones are one thing, but they, and I'm going to make this clear, the live DNA is the most sought-after prize, because these guys in the bioengineering department want to bring them back. That's why I quoted Isaiah 13 in the Septuagint. And that's what's really startling. You know, the people that picked up on this the most are the Japanese in their giant cartoons, you know, and their anime. It's just astonishing that they get what the West doesn't get. And the Native Americans, again, back in our DVD, we deal with this, we spell it out. And I will tell you this, there's going to be a big revelation concerning the Smithsonian, not with the government's blessing, by the way, and they won't be able to contain it. They're going to lose the control of keeping all this stuff, pun intended, under wraps. It is because it's the time of the revealing. When people understand this stuff, they're not as frightened as they are when they just anticipate it. And by the way, it has everything to do with the Yeti, a Sasquatch, you know, abominable snowmen. You're dealing with entities that come through stargates. The Native Americans have documented that in their myths and legends, and their eyewitness accounts are off the charts with how many people are seeing that now.
Let's go to Gary in Vancouver, Canada. Let's squeeze you in here. Gary, go ahead.
George, thank you very much for letting me come on.
Sure.
Steve Quayle, I have been listening to you, and wow, that's all I can say is I could listen to you for hours.
Well,
question is this. Have you ever talked to or exchanged ideas with a fellow by the name of David Icke? And I'll let you go. And
all right. And David, of course, has been on the program many times, but have you conversed with him, Steve?
No, not at all. We're kind of on separate ends of the spectrum, you know?
Yeah.
And I would say this, I haven't, and I would say our paths I don't see them crossing. I'm trying to be diplomatic.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are indeed. Look, I've got a minute left. Tell people how they can get True Legends.
Well, you can go on Coast to Coast AM and go on the show tonight, and they can go on Vimeo, V-I-M-E-O, and they can have basically unlimited rental of the thing for $14.95, or they can go on my website, stevequayle.com, and order the DVD. And what's interesting, George, is that all over the world, and I'm only telling you because I get so many emails, is that people are saying it puts everything in perspective. I'd also like to encourage people to get my book, Genesis 6 Giants, which talks about the very things that we are discussing tonight. It's not any longer a fairy tale. It is the stuff that genetic engineering and all of the secret black ops are looking for. They're looking for technology and DNA. When you combine them, you're going to have the most, I would say this, mythological, terrifying existence that most people could imagine. So Steve Quayle, Quayle.com, or TrueLegendsTheSeries.com.
Stephen, thanks again. We'll talk to you next time. StephenQuayle.com, website linked up at CoastToCoastAM.com. Up next, couple hours of open lines. Anything goes.